Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
So welcome, everyone. Welcome to today's seminar on When Those Around You Parent Differently. And my name is Emily Murray, and my co-presenter's name is Rachel Schofield, and we're both certified hand-in-hand parenting instructors. And we know your time is precious, and thank you so much for joining us today out of your busy lives to think about parenting, and for doing all the juggling you had to do to be able to join us for this teleseminar tonight, either live or listening later. We know even pressing play on a replay takes logistical juggling as parents too. So we hope you get some fresh ideas that you can take away from this teleseminar on parenting differently from those around you to try out in your lives. There are lots of parents registered for this call tonight, so before we start, I'd like to take just a few minutes to tell you a little bit about hand-in-hand parenting to allow people who are just joining the call a little bit late to settle in, and for those of you who are new to hand-in-hand parenting, maybe this is your first teleseminar, or maybe you're just starting to access some of the amazing resources available through the main website. I'll tell you a little bit more about what Hand in Hand has to offer. So Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization based in California, but we have instructors all over the world, including myself and my co-presenter, Rachel. Patty Whipler founded Hand in Hand in 1989, and after many thousands of hours of real-life experience working with parents and children, Hand in Hand has a wide variety of ways to support parents really well. There are many free articles on the website, the core booklets that talk about this approach in detail, about each of the tools, podcasts of teleseminars like this one are available for sale on the website, one-on-one support through consultations with certified instructors. Many of them are specialized in different things, experienced in different things. So chances are, if you have something brewing, they have support and resources and ideas for you. Self-guided classes are also available on the website through the Parent Rescue Series. We have instructor-led in-person classes, again, all over the world. Wherever there's an instructor, there's probably an in-person class or support groups going on. We have instructor-led online classes. We also have classes for professionals, such as therapists and nurses, an online Yahoo discussion group that supports parents around the world every day, and a very active Facebook page called Hand in Hand Parenting Support. I'm one of the moderators there, along with Kathy Gordon, so lots of posts happen there, too. And we have a very inspiring blog with parent success stories based on this approach, and those often are available through the search feature on the website as well, so you can search for lots of different struggles. So you can find all of these resources and links for more on the Hand in Hand website at handinhandparenting.org. So that's a little bit about the organization and how to find resources. Parenting by Connection is the approach that was developed by Patty and Hand in Hand. And this approach puts your relationship with your child at the center. And it aims to support parents and provide them with insights and skills they need to listen and connect with their children in a way that allows each child to thrive, each unique child thriving in their unique way in their unique family. So in a nutshell, here's what Parenting by Connection is about. Children thrive when they have a warm physical and emotional bond with their parents. They are innately cooperative, kind, and know how to share and play and love, and they can think well. It might not seem like it when your toddler's tantruming on the floor, but we'll tell you more about why that's such a great thing. And parents also want to be close to their children, to love them fully, to see them thrive. However, feeling disconnected and stressed causes both children's and parents' behaviors to flare, and the connection can break down. Listening, parent to parent and parent to child, is the key strategy for building connection through this approach. It conveys a deep respect, and it creates enough safety over time to dissolve the emotional tensions that can disrupt a caring relationship. So a disconnection causes off-track behaviors to happen. So when parents listen well and set limits well, children instinctively offload their big feelings and regain their sense of connection and good judgment. So it's a natural cleansing process, offloading those big feelings. And a good listener can also help parents feel less isolated and stressed. And with genuine support for the hard work of parenting, parents can strengthen their connection with their children. They can repair it when stress has interfered. These tools work preventively. They work in the moment. They work as repair. They're a universal tool. So this approach to parenting has an even bigger impact than simply the one-on-one relationship between a parent and a child. When parents connect with one another to build a support system that helps them solve problems and engage their communities, they inspire those around them also by being agents of change. And you all are a part of this change making. This healing process that happens with children when they offload big feelings also happens for the adults when we listen to one another. So lots of healing work happens in this approach. Supporting connected parenting is a powerful way to reduce all kinds of hurt and harm in the lives of individuals, families, and communities. There are lots of lovely ripple effects that happen once we start tuning in, connecting, and listening to one another. So we encourage you to reach out for the support you need for your own parenting so that you and your child can really thrive on the deep love that you have for each other. And we have lots of opportunities for reaching out for that support through the Facebook group, through individual classes, one-on-one support. Lots of resources are available for you to work your way through these tools. So I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I am a certified instructor with Hand in Hand Parenting, and I'm also one of the founding directors at Birth Roots. We're a center for community-supported parenting in Portland, Maine. And I'm also one of the creators of Facilitating Community, which is an approach that offers that support. It's how we do our classes and groups at Birth Roots. And I also have two daughters. I have an 11-year-old and a 3-year-old. And they certainly keep me on my toes with this work and give me lots of great stories to share with the families that I work with. I truly credit Hand in Hand with helping me to break free of the seriousness of parenting and discover a really playful and silly side that has been profoundly nourishing to my family, to our family life in general. So I hope you can find those transformational pieces in this work as well for your families. So now I'll invite Rachel Schofield to introduce herself as well.
Yeah, thank you, Emily, and a warm welcome to everyone on the call. I'm so glad you're able to make it or able to listen in to the replay. So my name is Rachel, and I live on the far south coast of New South Wales, Australia, and I'm there with my family, who's my partner, and my two boys. I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. And I'm really here and working with Hand in Hand, sharing these ideas. It just goes back to when my eldest was a baby and I was struggling. Like, he wasn't sleeping through the night. he, you know, he was a beautiful baby and I loved him so much and I was totally struggling. And I happened across a hand-in-hand parenting support group and it really changed everything. It helped me deal with the sleeping issues and it totally transformed my relationship with him and the whole path that we've taken our family over the last 10 years. And I see that happen again and again with the families I work with, but these ideas, they don't just solve problems, they do it in a way that builds close connections between parents and children, and it does it again and again. Like again and again, I come to these tools to build and rebuild connection in my own family. They work and they are so powerful. Thanks, Emily.
Thank you. So our topic tonight, some of you might be coming off of a holiday season having fresh experiences to think about as we talk about the topic tonight. As we get started, a couple of things I want us to feel rooted in and grounded in as we move deeper into some tools and ideas for you. The first is that it's okay for us to have different values and opinions, both here on the call and in our parenting circles and in our social circles and in our community. And that Hand in Hand recognizes that there is no one right way for a person to parent. There's no one method that can be applied that works for every single person out there. These tools are very flexible in their approach, and we trust parents to figure out how to apply them. So as we move into the call, just keeping that in mind that we know there's not one right way, and that's part of the point of tonight's call as well, that we can let that ripple out into our communities as well. So when we choose to parent differently from the norm, from the mainstream, we do add an extra layer of challenge to our already likely over full plates. Parenting is a very challenging process already, and this adds another level to it. So without the support and backing of our family and friends or professionals that we work with in our communities, the challenging job of caring for our children can get a whole lot tougher. Swimming upstream is always a little trickier. So parents who choose this approach, parenting by connection rather than the mainstream that often includes things like rewards and punishments, often feel isolated in their approach. Tensions can arise over our choices to parent differently for lots of reasons. We may feel judged for staying close and listening when our child offloads feelings. We may have to head off pointed comments, harsh criticisms about our parenting style, even from those who are closest to us. And often what parents find harder than the judgments is the breakdown in connection and the misunderstandings that can result. So the pain of rejection when those around us don't understand our parenting can be isolating and deflating. And we need all the fuel we can get just to make it through our day, to make it through the next phase. So mothering without your own mother's approval is a very lonely thing. Fathering without your own father's blessing is tough. We know those things can be particularly tender and vulnerable. But we have some ideas for you. It doesn't have to be this way. Bit by bit, we can turn things around, and Rachel and I have four steps to share with you tonight. And each step we'll explain a little bit about it and go into some details about how it works and what you can do. The first is to build our own confidence in our parenting style. So when we feel centered and grounded in what we're doing and why we're doing it, we have more confidence in our parenting style. Number two, notice and zap our own knee-jerk reactions to other people's opinions. Three, tactfully handle the disapproval of others. And four, help bridge the gap and find common ground with those around us. So those are our four steps for tonight's call that we're going to talk about. And I'm going to hand over to Rachel, who's going to talk about the first three steps.
Great. Thank you, Emily. So where I think a good place for us to start is really just to recognize that the impact that our parenting choice has on others and on ourselves. So as humans, we are deeply social. Our instinct to have close ties with those around us is strong. And the need to belong and share values are really primal needs. So when we parent differently, when we're doing differently, it can seem like disapproval. Just the act of doing things differently can land in others like criticism. And it can touch on people's fears, and it can touch on old hurts that they carry inside. And so we're accidentally rubbing on sore spots. And when we're rubbing our friends and family's sore spots, they will show us. They may have no idea that that's what's going on. To them, it feels like we're the ones that it's being difficult, that we're the one who's making life hard, that we're the one who is wrong. And that's what they're showing us. That's what they're showing us in their off comments or in their sideways looks. It's really that we've stumbled on this awkward place. And likewise for ourselves, the fact that we have differing views, it also touches on vulnerable places inside us. And we're inclined to think, rather than noticing that somewhere vulnerable inside us has been touched, we tend to think things like, my mom is really unsupportive, or God, my friend is just so critical, or my family doctor, he is just so annoying. It feels like the problem's with the other people. And so a good starting point is to really accept that difference does create a challenge. It does create a challenge, the fact that we parent differently from the mainstream. And where that puts us is in a place of trying to figure out how can we navigate this more skillfully so that we can feel secure in our relationships and we can hold steady in the face of this difference, that we can carry on parenting the way that we believe to be good, the way that we believe works for our family. And so we'll run through these four steps, and it'll show you if you use these four steps bit by bit, you will be able to turn things around. This isn't an overnight project. This is something that takes time. And so we'll look at the first step. The first step is building confidence in your parenting style. And I think something that happens, I think just about every single parent carries lots of worries, and one of the core fears that we all carry is that I'm not a good enough parent. It's like we love our children so much, and we would do absolutely anything to make their lives good, to smooth out life well for them. And because of the society we live in, because of the way things are structured, it's kind of impossible for us to do what we want to do. It's sort of impossible to give our children what we want to give them. And so inevitably, you know, life's imperfect and we can't be perfect parents. And we can't really smooth life out as well as we would like. And that really hurts. It hurts because we love our children so much. And I think that fear is at the core of some of the vulnerability and lack of confidence we carry. And in the face of criticism, I think that gets really amplified, that fear that we hold inside is amplified. And so what we need to do is to release those fears and counter the feelings so that we can build our confidence. And one way we can do that is simply by getting knowledgeable. Get really clear about why you're choosing to parent the way you are parenting. It can, just being really clear, having information, getting the research can really strengthen your conviction about why you're following the path you're following. And at Hand in Hand, we have a whole load of resources that you can access to help you get knowledgeable. So you can find a whole load of success stories on the blog where parents talk about exactly how they've used these tools and how they've worked, so that you can have some real life examples about how other parents are using these ideas. So if you go to the articles section, there are a whole load of articles that talk about the science of parenting. And in particular, if you look at the parent education series, that series looks very specifically at connection and emotional release with reference to research. And that you'll find that really useful, like getting that's a sort of quite quick way of gathering some research evidence. You can also go to, if you look at the recommended reading list on the website, you'll find plenty of books there that back the idea of focusing on building the parent-child connection. And two books I would really recommend are A General Theory of Love and Parenting from the Inside Out. Another way that you can build your confidence is to get support. Now, we don't need to abandon our friends and family. We can still stay close with them, but we do need other people who understand us and who support our parenting journey. We need people who can cheer us on, who can understand what it is we're trying to do. And again, at Hand in Hand, we can help you. We have many places that you can connect for free with like-minded parents. There's the Yahoo discussion group, which you that's really good for people that like long, detailed conversations about topics. There's a Facebook support group. There are also support calls you can get on where you can actually chat with other parents and share your parenting journey with other parents. And starter classes, and you can connect with your local instructor if you're the kind of person that likes to work face-to-face. So get support. Find people that can understand what you're doing and support your journey. And I think the third and perhaps the most powerful way that we can get confident in our parenting style is really to get listening time. So getting listening time is perhaps the core of the hand-in-hand approach. And what this is that you find someone that can listen to you without judgment, without giving advice, as you figure things out in your life, and you exchange listening time with this person. So you listen to them for, say, 20 minutes, and then they listen to you for 20 minutes. And it's just as simple as that. You carve out time to listen with warmth, without judgment, without advice. And done regularly over time, this is an incredibly powerful way of helping you parent well, of helping you release those fears that get kicked up when other people are disapproving of what you're doing. It can help you figure out where the disapproval is touching on sore spots inside you. And it can be a place to release feelings, to cry, to laugh, to let go of the feelings that are making it hard to think really well in these challenging situations. And if you do this regularly, if you manage to get regular listening time, you're going to be able to stand strong in the way that you want to parent, as well as facing people's judgments compassionately and with warmth, so that you're still maintaining good relationships with the people around you. And I'm just going to, what I'm going to do now is if you have a listening partner, or once you've set up a listening partnership, these are some topics that you might like to work on in that time, and some things that you can explore that will kind of unravel those buried feelings that you carry inside. So I'm just going to read through some questions that you might like to think about. So a great thing to think about is, how deeply do you want your mother, your father, your friend to agree with you and support you? Like, just how much do you want them to agree with you? Another question is, what are you afraid might happen if you can't agree with them? And what feelings come up for you as you consider that you might actually be wrong? What about what feelings come up when you think about that you may actually be a really good parent? that you've always done your best. And that maybe you've also made one or two mistakes. So those are great questions to explore in listening partnership. So I think using those three things, listening time, getting support and getting knowledgeable, is you do that and you will over time get more confident in your parenting style. So we'll move on to the second step, which is how can you zap your knee-jerk reactions to other people's opinions? Like, we all have them. It's very button-pressing having people judging our parenting. It's, you know, a really, really vulnerable place in us. So the first place is to sort of acknowledge that it's happening, that we are having these knee-jerk reactions, and just to notice what is it that you do. Like, notice your automatic response. So just take a little step back, and everyone's different, or it might be you have a different response with different people or a different response in different situations. So perhaps you feel defensive. Perhaps you clam shut or lash out. Some parents freeze and kind of lose their voice. Others will react angrily, and that leads to conflict. And some parents just get really embarrassed and end up actually parenting the way that's expected. So they feel embarrassed and they conform and they do what's expected, like distracting or scolding their child, and then later regret not connecting and listening and empathizing with their child. So just notice what's your pattern and what impact does that have on the relationships around you. The next thing to sort of to do to try and change that knee-jerk reaction is to get listening time. So regular listening time is such a powerful way to shift our knee-jerk reactions and find new ways to respond. So because we can use a listening partnership as a safe place to really rant and rage about what we really want to say to these people, but doing it in a private, safe space that doesn't damage those relationships. So maybe you have a dear friend who really presses your buttons because they're maybe slightly critical of the way you listen to your child when your child's crying. And you get to go to your listening partnership and feel the anger and rage that is bubbling up inside you. And you do that away from your friend so that when you're with your friend next, you can go back to them with love and compassion, and you've cleared out the junk of your reaction. You're going to have more patience with your friend. And so I'm going to give you a few things that you can explore in your listening partnership just to help you with your knee-jerk reactions. So one thing you can try doing is finish the sentence, I wish my father, I wish my friend, I wish my family doctor would. Like, what is it that you're really wanting them to do? Another thing you can do is think about what childhood memory does the lack of support remind you of? Just go back to your childhood. What does this lack of support feel like? And you can also turn around and take a bit of a lighthearted attitude and say something like, that's my mum, that's my dad. And what you're doing here is trying to really practice embracing who they really are. Like, that's who they really are, and embrace that and see what feelings come up for you. So in the meantime, so that's sort of like a long-term project, like changing those knee-jerk reactions by flushing out the full heat of the emotional response that you have. A sort of short-term measure is to figure out some emergency strategies that you can use in the moment when your buttons are getting pressed. And this may be really simple things, but you decide you're just going to walk away. You're just going to walk away from the situation, or you're just going to go and get a glass of water and drink a glass of water, or you're going to go and phone a friend. Or perhaps you're just going to lock yourself in the toilet in the bathroom and have some time out. figure out one or two emergency feet. These things aren't changing your emotional response, but they're taking the heat out of the situation and they're breaking the pattern. They're breaking whatever pattern you normally have. And once you've figured out one or two things to do, have it as a plan, practice them when you're actually feeling okay so that you're starting to create that as a new path that you can take. And then what we're wanting to do is find some new responses. So the last thing in zapping your knee-jerk reactions is to experiment with new responses, figure out some new patterns. And the question that you're trying to answer is, how can I stand strong, in my opinion, and still convey warmth to others? It's important that we not only sort of hold steady in ourselves, but that we also get across the message that I care. It's like we might have differences, but I still care about you. You still matter to me. And we can use our listening partnership again to try out new responses. We can experiment. We can think of, perhaps if I spoke this way to my dad, that would go better. Like, you can experiment in your listening partnership. And the last two steps that we're going to go to are going to give you some ideas, some suggestions of new responses that you might like to try out with those around you. So I'm going to move on now to the third step, which is tactfully handling the disapproval from others. I think it's really important just to remember, we all know this, but just to remember that trying to persuade other people to convert to our parenting style doesn't usually work. And trying to prove that we're right and that they are wrong is usually a disaster. It doesn't work. So we're going to give you some alternatives. So a really common thing is you're getting some sort of criticism from someone. It may be subtle, it may be very, very loud. And you can respond simply by saying, our guests will just have to agree to differ. It's really simple. I guess we'll just have to agree to differ. If you're getting pointed comments or sarcasm or mockery, you can try and keep it light and go, ouch, just a really light ouch. And the more you practice this kind of response in your listening partnerships, the more you're going to be able to do it without a huge amount of emotional stuff coming up for you. Another situation that can happen is that an adult will move in and will be dealing with some parenting situation, and a very, you know, well-meaning adult will move in and try and help us by offering a mainstream response to the parenting challenge. It looks to them like we're not coping very well, and so they're coming in and trying to help. And we can just say something like, oh, I think we're okay just now. Or, I'll let you know if we need help. So you're just gently, warmly deflecting them, asking them to give you a little bit of space. This is a situation I hear a lot from parents. It comes up that when your child is crying or tantruming, another adult will rush in and try and help, and they'll come in and try and distract your child, maybe offer them food or give them some entertainment. Or they might start chipping in with comments that aren't so helpful, like, stop crying, or you're being silly, or don't be sad, cheer up, or you can't always have your own way. Like, some comment that's just difficult to hear, and it isn't going down the path of connection. And what we can do is we can respond with a warm and strong, it's okay, thanks, I've got this. I think we just need a moment. I find that comment really great when a child is crying and someone's trying to distract my child, and I just turn and say, oh, I think we just need a moment. People seem to really get that. It seems to land okay in others. It doesn't land as criticism. It seems to go really well as a response. And sometimes that's not enough. Like, sometimes saying those things isn't enough. And so what we can do is we can scoop our child up and take them to a nap space. Just take them away from the situation. Take them away from the other adults. And What's quite good about this, you're taking your child away so that you can offer them connection. That's your agenda. That's what you're trying to do. But to those people that are looking at parenting from a rewards and punishment paradigm, this actually looks a little bit like punishment. It looks like you're sort of isolating a child or sending them to their bedroom. And so it fits with that way of thinking. And it can really help lessen the tension in a situation just to take your child out of the room. For them, it feels like the consequences or maybe punishment that they're expecting is happening, even though what you're actually doing is taking your child to a safe place to offer connection. Another situation that comes up is that you're in this really tricky situation of trying to balance your child's need for empathy with an adult who's also struggling, an adult who is having their buttons pressed. And so what can sometimes help and sometimes soften an adult's heart is that you empathize with them and you bring in empathy for the child. So maybe the adult says something like, they never do as they're told. We can come back in with something like, it is so frustrating, isn't it, when our kids are resistant, and it's so hard for them when we're annoyed at them. Or maybe the adult says something like, oh, she's always so mean to her sister. You could say something like, it's hard when our kids fight. It's so hard for everyone. And so you're bringing in the child's experience alongside the experience that that adult is genuinely having. Okay, that's the first three steps. I'm now going to hand over to Emily, who'll cover the fourth step, how you can help build a bridge with those around you.
Thanks so much. So as we think about the metaphor of building a bridge, we have the parts and pieces that come from us, from within us, and we are extending these toward the other people in our lives. So we're going to do work both internally on ourselves, part of that work, is what Rachel mentioned, in kind of working on our knee-jerk reactions, zapping those trigger buttons, and then how we respond toward the people who are differing in opinions from us about how things should be handled. So from us, what we're going to do is try to find some common ground and grow from there. So you're reaching, you're looking, you're observing, and you're trying to figure out, what is something I know we can agree on? And we can also engage in big picture conversations, not the nitty gritty of what kind of sticker chart should be used to get a child to comply, but rather sharing the really big picture views, values, conversations, ideas, asking for input, talking on that big level of kind of the big trajectory of the work of supporting a child as they grow and develop. And the last piece from us, and this is a tricky one to find sometimes, but it really can grow as we practice the listening partnership tool from Hand in Hand, is coming to this with a no big deal attitude. If we can walk into a conversation having no urgency whatsoever about the other person agreeing with us, then it removes the inflammation from their defenses. So if we don't come at them with, I know I'm right, I know how to do this, I know this is the way, and I want them to agree with me. If we can come at it with no urgency, with no big deal, there's nothing for them to defend. It's just simply a conversation. So toward the people in our lives, a few ways we can work with them. We can respond with curiosity and interest about how and why they do what they do, why they have the opinions they do. And this is where you can find the common ground, too. And interestingly enough, the tools that Hand in Hand teaches can be used on adults as well. So using the tools, you can offer listening Just simply acknowledging something that you notice is difficult for them can be enough. You can be playful. But we allow the values that we bring to our parenting to extend to the relationships beyond just ourselves and our children. So using the tools is a lovely way to show and practice how well they work. And another thing that can be fun is to engage in some fantasy or nostalgic thinking, reminiscing a bit about what was fun when we were kids, what you wish adults had done for you, even asking who a special adult was in a person's life and why. Just reminiscing about those things and relating that story builds a connection between us and them that we can grow from. Time travel is another fun one. If you could time travel back to when you were a child, what might you do differently? What might you tell the kid version of you? So these are just some fun ways to extend the bridge. So some of the practical applications of these ideas, a little ahead of time planning, when you know you're going to be together with someone who doesn't share the same opinions and ideas about how parenting should work, think ahead about where can you meet and what can you do ahead of time that might work for everyone. Consider, is it better to meet out and about at a beach or at a park? Or is it better to meet at home? Sometimes neutral ground is really helpful. Sometimes the familiarity of a space is even more helpful. So just having some time to think ahead about setting yourself up for success in choosing the location of where you're going to get together with someone who might be triggered by how you're parenting and how you're doing things. If it's a family gathering, you might think about how can you prepare the day or the evening ahead of time so you can really bring all of your attention to the relationship building side of things. So if it's a meal, can you pre-cook? Can you prep ahead so you can give your full attention to relationship building work? You can also set limits around your time together. Just like we do with children, just like we do with the tool special time, sometimes 5 minutes is all we can do of special time before our resources are out. So you can set limits around the time that you're spending with people who are not in agreement with how you parent. If you know it's going to be difficult, you can set a time limit of an hour or two. It's easy when you are with your loved ones and they are getting re-stimulated by the difference between what you might need to figure out. You need to figure out new ways of being together. So the core message you want to get across is, I care. I want to be with you. Let's set up some time together. Sometimes you'll be able to have direct conversations. And other times you might need to be a little bit more vague. You get to make this choice. You get to decide, is this a relationship where I really want to lay it all on the table? Or do I just need to have a little bit of camouflage for masking how I really feel about it? So you could say something like, I love being with you. So when you come and visit, we'll rent a nearby unit rather than stay with you so we can really enjoy our time together. Or I want to see you so much, and I think we'll all have a good time if we meet maybe for a couple of hours. Or you could say things indirectly like, oh, you know, he's just not sleeping well, and I don't want to keep you up all night, so we're going to stay at a unit nearby. So that's a camouflage approach to softening the blow of, I can't possibly stay in your house with you. We will all go crazy by the end of our time together. So that's setting yourself up for success. So time together without kids is another opportunity to build those relationships, to deepen those connections, to find that common ground. Spending time with the adults in your life without the kids can help you enjoy each other without the tension that the children bring, just by being there and us having to be actively parenting, to have that parent radar on, to work on setting limits, to work on the tantrums that inevitably come when we're all together. So having time just with the adults, where you can be one-on-one or in a group with each other, is very valuable. Even 10 minutes can make a difference. So spend the time really appreciating the other person when you get these little windows of time where you're just with the adults. Be really interested in them. It's kind of like special time for the adults. This would be an example of maybe even using one of the tools with the people around you. So no matter the topic, you just devote yourself to delighting in their zeal on whatever the topic is. And you can mentally set your timer if you need to, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is. Just delight in whatever it is that they want to talk about, that they're interested in and excited in, and give them that glow that special time can bring. Being playful, this is a little bit like play listening for the adults around us. Being playful is a muscle that we can work. And having some ideas ahead of time, if this isn't something that feels natural to you, you can kind of brainstorm ahead of time one of those other things that you might plan ahead for how can I be playful with this? What might I say? What might I do? When we've shed a good chunk of our own emotional tension through listening partnerships, we might find that we have more flexibility and agility with our thinking to be playful around the differences. Helping everyone feel a little bit lighter. We can start by being playfully inviting others to laugh at our own quirks. So if you know something is a button-pushing topic, or if you know that someone thinks that something you do is particularly silly, you could make light of it ahead of time. You can say, oh, you know me, I'm the silly one that won't let my kid have the star charts, I know. You can roll your eyes at yourself and create a little bit of laughter, lightness. You're showing them that you're not taking yourself quite so seriously, that you have room for fun, that you have room for their opinions about star charts. You might even be able to respond playfully when one of those closest to you responds in a knee-jerk way. This is a little trickier because when someone is reacting, it can trigger a reaction from us back. So if your father kind of sneers or scoffs that you do something in such a way, you could try just playfully ruffling his hair, saying, oh, that's my dad. Or one response that was recently on the Facebook parent support page that I thought sounded particularly fun, could be silly and fun to do, was, huh, did Grandpa catch a grouchy bug? Should we run and hide, you say to the children, or should we try to find it? And just engage in some light, you know, checking under his toes, behind his ears, see if you can get that person to crack a smile, to bring a little lightness and laughter. So being playful, connecting, appreciations are another way to extend that bridge. Notice what they're doing. Find something, find anything you can appreciate about what they're doing and how they're doing it, even if it's just that they care. They're there, they're interested, they're making comments about how you're parenting. They probably are invested in you and your child and care. So see if you can find ways of appreciating the good efforts that your friends and family put into you and your family. And it might not look the way you want it to. It might be overhelping, maybe underhelping. Sometimes it makes things worse. But see what happens when you work from the assumption that they genuinely care and want to connect with you and your children. And you just maybe haven't quite found the right fit yet for how that can be and what that can look like. So really listening asking friends and family about their childhood might be one way to open a conversation. It's a wonderful way to build empathy and deepen connection. And it also has the added value of helping people see things from a child's perspective. So listening and taking an interest in them shows you care. Asking about how things were for them in their childhood might shed some light on why they do things the way they do. Another idea is to ask them to share a skill. If you need to deflect them away from judging your parenting, you can ask them to share something they do know, that you do want to know about, that you do want your child to know about. And often people are in a different space when they are sharing things like that. And then lastly, sharing information. And as Rachel mentioned, this can be a little tricky because we don't want to go into lecture mode. We don't want to go into beating someone over the head with our information versus their information. But focusing on modeling our parenting style without uninvited explanations is a little less threatening. We might humbly offer something like, I know it seems really odd, but someone showed me that if you just listen until your child has stopped crying, that they actually get to be happier and think better than if you try to stop them. It's been a really interesting experiment for us. It's just a light way of kind of deflecting that judgment. And sometimes we do have to have difficult conversations. Sometimes it is important to kind of muster your courage and sit down with an adult in our lives and have a heart-to-heart. Always starting out with the common ground, pointing out how much you know they love you and your children, how much you appreciate them. You both want the kids to do well in life. You can set the scene with something like, I know we have differing views here. I know we don't always agree on exactly how things should be done. I think we might have to agree to disagree, but I'd like to explain where I'm coming from. You don't have to agree. You don't have to say anything. It's just important to me that you know my reasons for doing it this way. So you can share a little bit of information, a little bit of resources, and so they know that you actually do have a plan. You're not just flying by the seat of your pants. You have an idea. If someone is a researchy kind of person, Hand in Hand has great information about that on the website. You can give them books and articles and studies and whatever they need. Most people just need a little reassurance. You can try to guess what you think they're afraid of. Maybe they think you're being permissive. Maybe they're afraid your kid will turn into a brat. That's a big one that comes up. But you can reassure them that you have a plan, you believe in setting limits, and that you know what you're doing. And then thank them for listening. Thank them for taking the time to hear you out and give them an opportunity to respond. And this response just can simply be you listening. They might be reacting. They might be telling you you're doing it wrong, but just turn on your listening brain. And hear them out and let them complete their thought too. So these are our tools that you can take from tonight's call to apply in your own lives and see how it works to extend these bridges, to deepen connections. I'll just recap the four steps so you have them fresh in your mind as we're coming toward the end of our time together tonight. Step one, build our own confidence in our parenting style. Two, notice and zap our own knee-jerk reactions to other people's opinions. Three, tactfully handle the disapproval of others. And four, help bridge the gap and find common ground with those around us. And hopefully they'll help you build those connections and strengthen your support network around you. Even if it's not perfect support, having that support network is really valuable. So I'll turn the call over to Rachel for our final chunk of time that we have together tonight.
Great. Thank you, Emily. Thanks. I really enjoyed your discussion there around building that bridge with others. And just to say, if you want, there's an article on the Hand in Hand website that covers much of what we've talked about today, which is called 4 Essential Steps When You Parent Differently from Those Around You. So you could go to the Hand in Hand website and search out that article, and it'll to get notes from today's teleseminar. So we're going to move on to the Q&A part of the. If you have a question or a comment that you would like to share, you can press *2 and we'll see that you've got your hand raised and we'll open up the line for you. And just while people are thinking about what questions they might like to ask, I'd just like to let you know that if you would like to dive more deeply into the ideas and get more support, we have instructor-led 6-week-long starter classes, which is a sort of signature class, and you get a whole 6 weeks of phone calls with a small group, like maybe 2, 3, or 4 other parents in that group, so that you can have your hand held, like applying the ideas to your family. So you get a lot of personal support. Now, I know Emily has a new month-long series of in-person classes coming up, and a skill-building class, and a listening partnership class coming up. Are they all local, Emily?
Yes, they are. They're at Birch Roots in Portland, Maine.
Okay, cool. And I've got an online starter class starting on the 8th of February, 8 p.m. That's New South Wales, Australia time. So you're most welcome to come and join us with our classes. So just press *2 if you would like to ask a question or share a comment. I have a question that was sent in before the call, which it's quite a long question, so I'm just going to summarize the situation. So this mum has been using the Hands in Hand parenting tools for quite a long time, and they spend a lot of time with her family, with her parents. They spend a couple of weeks, a month actually, living in her parents' house. And her older son, who is 6.5 years old, an emotional project where he's quite aggressive and lashes out towards his younger brother. And she's in the very fortunate situation that her extended family are actually supportive of hand-in-hand parenting and the tools. But once her son starts to lash out and hit, they become very vocal, and that's where the disapproval sets in. And in particular, she's finding her extended family seeing her approach as lacking consequences. And they've said things, they have also made comments about how if my son hits them, they would certainly hit him back, which I'm not confident in handling. I've had a lot of listening time to gain confidence in my choices, and I guess I'm asking about how to help them see I'm not ignoring my son's behavior or doing nothing. Or maybe I'm asking how I can get confidence up to simply not worry if they do think poorly of my parenting. So this is a great question. I'm sure it's one that many of you can relate to in different ways. And I think probably the ideas we flagged up, I think it's great that you're getting listening time. It's great that they actually are pretty supportive of what you are doing. I mean, these are it's a really good situation to be in. I think probably you need to step back from the idea of persuading them to agree with you. So that might be something to take to listening time about how you really, really want them to agree with you. Like, that may be a place where you have to agree to differ. Because they're already supportive, this is probably a situation where I'm guessing you could actually have some sort of conversation, or perhaps they would be open to reading some articles and there are plenty of articles on the website around. If you search hitting on the Hands in Hand website, you'll come up with articles around stopping aggression. And perhaps if they were to read that, they would get perspective on what you're trying to do. So that might be an idea to give them some information. And it may be actually a really good place to sit down and have that difficult conversation. It sounds like you've got a lot of common ground with them. And maybe you, in that conversation, what you're explaining is why you don't believe in consequences and what you are doing instead. So instead of consequences, you're stopping and listening. And perhaps another area that you could think about is actually looking at that dynamic in their house when your oldest son lashes out. Like, what can you do to actually get in there a little bit earlier? What can you do to notice when he's about to do something really unworkable? And maybe just in their space where you know this is really button pressing, how can you minimize that happening? Emily, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share on that?
I think the pre-conversation sounds like it would be a really great spot to start with them, to say, to find that common ground of nobody wants to see the kids hitting each other, and we certainly don't want to be hitting the children either. So let's come up with our alternatives. Let's come up with a couple things to try this time. And just acknowledging that you don't want to see anyone hurt either. You want to come up with a plan that works for everybody, that feels right to everybody, and getting everybody on board with, we're going to try these couple of things this time and the next time and see how it goes. But let's stay in conversation about it. Let's keep working on it together because we value each other's relationship and this playtime together. So, yeah, that pre-conversation, I think, is a good spot for this one.
Yep. That sounds right. It sounds good.
And it looks like we are – oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was about to say, it looks like we're at time.
We are. It's a very full hour. They all are. Time goes away with these calls. So we'll wrap up tonight, but I just want to remind everyone, if you do have questions that you want answered, there are lots of places to get answers from instructors, the Facebook page, Hand in Hand Parent Support. There is the annual membership of the Parent Support Club that is, you get weekly calls with instructors to ask questions like these. So just know that they're out there. So thank you again for joining us tonight. We parents have really full lives, made really sometimes even more challenging when we do start down a path that's different from those around us with parenting approaches. So choosing this approach, choosing parenting by connection rather than rewards and punishment, it can be stressful in our relationships. But by focusing on building our confidence in our parenting, zapping our knee-jerk reactions, bridging the gaps with those that we love, we can stand strong in our parenting while staying connected to those that we love. So I'll just do a quick recap for what we've covered tonight, kind of the main thoughts, things that you might take away from tonight's call, that it's okay to have different values and opinions. Just as with our children, all feelings are valid, all behaviors are not. So setting limits as needed, but it's okay to have those different values and opinions. There is no one right way. We can do it our way. They can do it theirs. We can find the middle ground in the middle when needed. Find the common ground and grow from there. Engage in big picture conversations. Share your values and ideas. And come at it with a relaxed attitude, a no big deal attitude, and remove that urgency that can inflame their defenses. Respond with curiosity and interest in why others are doing what they're doing. Use the tools. Use them for our families. Use them for the adults in our lives. And do deepen those relationships. Ask those fun questions. Ask those deeper questions. Deepen those relationships. So I hope you've enjoyed tonight's teleseminar. We do have more free teleseminars coming up. You can check our website, handinhandparenting.org. We also have other free resources, including our monthly newsletter that always has the perfectly timed article that I seem to need just as it comes out. Lots of articles on the website. As we mentioned before, the instructor-led six-week-long series called the Parenting by Connection Starter Class is a great way to deepen your understanding of the tools and get some built-in listening partnership time. If you're looking for even more personalized attention or you have a really hard issue that you're trying to resolve that feels urgent, or big that you need some extra support on, there are one-on-one consultations with experienced instructors. We have the self-paced, self-guided classes from the Parent Rescue Series on some specific topics that are common to most of us. And if you work with families, you might consider participating in the Professionals Intensive that happens through Hand in Hand. This is for therapists, teachers, nurses, instructors. So all of those resources are available on the main website. And just a reminder that Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we depend on your donations to provide these free services like this parenting call. The many articles on our website are free parent discussion groups. We also offer scholarships for classes and instructor trainings. It's really easy to donate, and any amount helps. We really appreciate it. Just click on the donate button on the website and give what you can when you can. And together, we can support parents everywhere. So thank you again for joining us, and we'll wrap up the call tonight and look forward to seeing you in classes and on other calls. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the call, everyone. We've really enjoyed having you here. Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.